Hello, my name is Claire and you are listening to the Hypnobirthing Podcast. Hello everybody and welcome back to the podcast. I hope that everybody is doing well. I just want to, before I play the episode for you, I just want to give you a quick reminder that I have my digital online courses linked in the show notes. So my digital online course is basically a 3-hour course online, watch in your own time. You can go back and watch it again as many times as you like, and it covers the essentials of hypnobirthing. And I also do live group courses. My next one won't be till autumn, but please do get in touch kind of for information and potential dates. And I also do one-to-one hypnobirthing courses as well. So they can be in person if you're local to Essex, or online as well. And of course I have my doula support, which I mainly do in person, again around the Essex area, but I can also provide virtual doula support as well. Again, all of it is linked in the show notes. Today's episode is a birth story. Well, kind of two birth stories. Guest Rachel came on to share mainly her second birth story, but she also went a little into her first birth as well and talked about that, because that also for her was a really positive experience. And then she went on to share her second birth story, which was a really beautiful, lovely home birth. So just really lovely listening to her stories. And we recorded first thing in the morning and it just really did pick up my day and make my day feel really positive after listening. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I'll play it for you now. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the podcast. If you would like to introduce yourself.
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Rachel and I live in London with my husband and, well, now two children. So my 3-year-old daughter, well, she's about to turn 3, and our son, who is turning 6 months in a couple of days. So it's very exciting. I've done so much research around kind of hypnobirthing and heard about this podcast and the women's stories as they were shared in the various episodes were super helpful to me when I was preparing for both of my births, that yeah. I thought it would be good to share my own.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's, you know, the main reason why people want to come on and share their story, because they've benefited so much from hearing other stories. And it's often people's like favorite part of the podcast is the stories.
It was definitely mine as well. And I learned so much just hearing different views and different experiences. It's really interesting.
It's important because it shows you that every birth is different and that every type of birth can be positive. And even if something happens that is unexpected, it doesn't mean that it, you know, has to all go to a really negative place. It can still be a really positive, nice experience. So yeah, it's great. And it's so, we were saying before we started recording, but like, it's so lovely that there's so many people that want to share their stories, because we need it so badly, because there's just so many negative stories. And I think it's harder to share a positive one than a negative
one. Yes, definitely. Yeah, for sure. And because of, you know, my attitude towards my two different births were totally different. I think I was definitely ruled by anxiety in the first prep, even though I was doing lots of hypnobirthing prep. I still felt that when I started to go into labor, even just my daughter was 12 days late, which I think added to the anxiety build up. But you know, I definitely felt completely so much more relaxed second time, having been through it, having listened to more stories, having understood like what to do, that I could manage it and get through it. So it was really interesting.
So what was it that interested you firstly in hypnobirthing?
I think I had always been interested in mindfulness. So I've done kind of meditation courses in the past and found it really interesting kind of how the brain can have such a massive impact on the way that you experience the world and that how you can experience your body. And so I found that really interesting. And then actually it was during our NCT course, I found that the way they it might have just been particular to my particular course and our particular teacher, but the way that they discussed pain and pain management always felt very clinical. And there was a lot of focus on, you know, the medical interventions, what an epidural.
I've heard this.
And it just felt it felt as if there wasn't really much discussion on what to do if the pain is kind of manageable. It was all just sort of, it's going to
Worst
be really
case,
painful, so these are the things you can do. And I immediately remember thinking this just it just felt too clinical really for me. And I had already been introduced to a book on hypnobirthing and had read some of the, I mean, to be honest, I think what I missed is that I didn't actually understand how labor worked. And so as soon as I understood what went on with the kind of uterus muscles and how the body is in, and hormone levels, as soon as I understood that, I think it gave me a bit more power and control to be able to feel like, okay, maybe there are other non-medical ways of managing labor, really.
I have heard that about NCT. I never did it myself, but obviously I've had friends that have done it, and I've spoken to quite a few people for the podcast as well who have also done it. And I have heard similar that it is much more focused on, the kind of what happens when it is so painful that inevitable, like it's going to be really painful. So, this is what you need to do. But I've also heard that, there's not much description of what actually happens during labor, which I think is like so fundamental in feeling calm and understanding, because it must feel so scary if you don't really understand what those sensations are that you're experiencing. Like how scary is that? Anyone would find that scary. So
I know.
understanding it is makes sense.
It totally adds to that feeling of feeling out of control. I think if you just don't know what's happening, you're more likely to panic. Inevitably, we're all more likely to panic if we don't know what's going on with our bodies. And also, you don't really know if you feel a certain sensation, you don't really know, like, does that mean the baby's going to, when you haven't been through it before, you don't really know that that pushing phase can take a little bit of time. In the films, the pushing bit could sometimes be seconds. And it might be, but you need to know what the different variabilities are. So I found a few books I'd read, and then I found this podcast, and actually it was just hearing women's stories and the differences between a hospital birth, a home birth, they could both be as positive as each other, was really helped. And also just that mindfulness practice around breath work, it's actually phenomenal how much that can help during pain management. So I wanted to explore that a bit more, really. So for my first birth, I did do what do you call them, like mantras, kind of. So I found
Affirmations.
those quite
Affirmations.
affirmation. Yeah, affirmations. That's right. I found those very helpful, and I used those during my first labor, and my second, but much more so during my first labor. And yeah, my first one, I didn't really plan to have a home birth. I planned to have a hospital birth, but where possible, birth center. And I was sort of, it was one of those situations where everything took forever because she was 12 days late, and I kept getting nudged towards an induction. There was a lot of okay, you can wait one more day. I had a very supportive midwife team, which was excellent. But in the end, I went in for my induction appointment, and was told that things were already sort of happening. So I was already 3 centimeters dilated. So I felt like I had been like in labor the night before, a little bit, like on and off. So I'd had that feeling of kind of contraction stopping and starting. And so they let me go home, which was really lucky. So for me personally, I kind of wanted to not necessarily do an induction if I could avoid it. But then I went home, and then I just didn't want to do that travel back to hospital again. And so then everything happened very, I'm not sure if it happened fast. I just, as I was having my contractions at home, I was sat on my birth ball. I had my TENS machine, which I found extremely helpful for managing the pain. And then I remember I had my head down, and my husband kept asking me, like, do you think we should, go back in now? And I remember thinking, no, I'm just in my bubble. Leave me alone. I just wanted to be in my zone and silence. And in the end, I think he just intervened, and he was like, I don't know what's going on. I feel like this baby might be born like now, because I was, not communicating really. I was just very much in my zone, and I'm glad he did, because I basically we did get in a taxi. Then my husband called a taxi, and it was the longest taxi. It was actually only about 12 minutes, but it felt like the longest
Yeah, I
taxi ride in
bet.
the world. Because when I got to hospital, I was basically 10 centimeters. So I was sort of, I had just,
You've
so
done it
all
all
that
at
last
home.
bit had happened quite quickly, I think, from sort of 3 centimeters to 10 centimeters. And then And then my yeah, and then she was born not she was born not too long after. Although that was it was actually that transition to hospital that I found quite
Yeah,
stressful.
it can be. Yeah, it really can be. I always try and warn people of that, that like any time you move location during your birth, it's going to spike your adrenaline. Like it's gonna put you into your like emergency fight or flight mode because that's just what our body does. That is, it's completely normal. Your body's trying to protect you from this new environment that it doesn't know if it's safe yet. So it has to protect you.
And I was super unfortunate. I was kind of fortunate and unfortunate. Fortunate in the sense that I felt that I could control the contractions pain. I mean, I was glued to my TENS machine. All I wanted to do was like hold on to my TENS machine. I think I was white knuckled holding onto that, which I did find extremely helpful. But when we got to the hospital, I wasn't particularly vocal, and because I hadn't, I'd only been in for that induction appointment, and I hadn't really. I phoned ahead, but the midwives just couldn't get a sense of where I was. And so they were quite slow to examine me when I first came in. I think their assumption had been that they'd be sending me home.
Oh, right.
And so I remember this ridiculous conversation where I knew in my head that I was thinking I must be quite far along at this point,
Yeah.
but I couldn't quite communicate that. And I think it's almost that ridiculous British thing of not wanting to cause a fuss, even though I
Yeah.
was in the height of labor.
Yeah.
And one of the midwives, my midwife, the one who I'd seen a couple of times, said, "Oh, we've got a student here. Do you mind if she does, the examination?" And I remember thinking, "Yeah, that's fine." But she was quite nervous and it was
Oh
quite
no.
slow. And I couldn't get up on the bed because it was just a horrible position to be in, to be laying down
Yeah.
at that point. Obviously, I wanted to be standing up or like leaning over something. And so it took a
Yeah.
little bit of time. And then she looked absolutely terrified. She examined me and she looked up and she was like really flustered, and she called her, she was, "I just need to check, I just need to check something." And I then had to hop up, and then the senior midwife came in, and I had to, and we went through the whole kerfuffle of trying to get me to lay down again. And then she was like, "Oh, right, okay, yeah, you're 10 centimeters, no, you were right,"
Wow.
reassuring them, student midwife. But
Yeah, she wasn't
and then
expecting
no, exactly. And then they
it.
had to rush out and get everything ready. So this was my first birth video. So that was a very positive experience in
Yeah,
that
it
sense.
sounds it. It sounds it.
It was good, but then we had a weird, I think after that, everything sort of, even though I was so far along, everything just massively slowed down. I think it was the stress of moving in that, moving into hospital, this kind of slow, kind of lack of communication between me and the midwives. And then I had put in my birth plan that I wanted a water birth, and so they started running the pool. And I don't know, for some reason, because I felt like I was so close, and then there were just lots of steps to sort of go through, everything slowed up to the point where even at that point, everything kind of stopped. It was a bit crazy. And it took a lot of kind of encouragement and people leaving the room for me to get going again.
'Cause you got
But she was
comfortable again,
cool.
probably, like,
Exactly. So I had to get a bit, yeah, I got a bit more comfortable with everything. And then in the end, the pushing phase was quite long. That down phase was really quite long. But and did I think because of the sort of because everything had slowed down in the end, I did need an episiotomy, which I think in hindsight, I'm not sure, I'm not certain it was my first birth, but it was that second bit where I felt a bit out of control, where I felt like actually, had I been at home and stayed at home because it was going so well, maybe I would have felt a bit more, it would have been a bit more manageable. But it was also COVID, which was a bit stressful.
Yeah, and it is that
So there's a
hindsight,
lot more
like
going on.
you only know what you know, like there's I'm sure like looking back you probably think, oh, maybe I would have done this different. I think that as well about my first birth, like there's things that I feel now I would do differently, even though it was a really positive experience. I still think, oh, like I probably would have done this if I was to do it again. But obviously you don't know first time, it can be tricky because there is a bit, it's unknown. You don't know what to expect. You don't know how long it's going to take. That pushing stage for your first baby is often longer. And it's just that kind of not knowing. And as much as I, I'm always like,
encouraging people to have like trust in their body, which we should do. We should trust our body. But it's so much easier said than done first time, because yes, it's not done it before. So you're like, can I trust my body? We can trust our bodies. Like, we can.
Totally.
We've been conditioned to believe we can't, but we can.
Yes.
But it's a lot easier said than done. And I think second time, we have a bit more trust there. But yeah, first time, it can be difficult.
And the first time as well, I should have mentioned that when I got into the birth center room, which is beautiful, and they had the birth pool, I was giving gas on air for the first time, because they had it out. And I thought, well, actually, this is a good time to, it is feeling quite painful at this point. I'll do some gas on air. But it had a really funny effect on me. I think some people, it doesn't necessarily, everything moved up into my head. It's only the only way I can describe it. And I felt spaced out. Thinking, I felt like I wasn't really in the room, and I just felt too, in the end, I don't think I said I didn't want it. I remember the midwife saying, I think we're just going to take that away, because it was like I couldn't even listen to them. I just went really foggy. Maybe I just got too hard.
You're not like, you're not present any, you weren't present anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was helpful, because I'd had that experience and knew maybe second time around I would be a bit more slow paced with the old gas in it if I was going to use it. Overall it was sort of it was still a positive experience, my first birth, I'd say. And so I knew when I got pregnant with my son that I wanted to pursue a home birth. And so, this podcast was super helpful in helping me feel confident in that, and also just that experience. And I'm very lucky our local hospital has a kind of home birthing team, and they really push, they're just pushing home birth all the time. And it's probably, it's interesting. We've got some people on our street even who've had the same team who've had home birth. So it's actually felt like a very normal thing to do. Yeah,
it's definitely like a postcode lottery thing with home births. Yeah. Like, it really does depend where you are, because some areas have really excellent home birth teams. We actually have a pretty good one where I am. And actually, although the home birth rate is still very low, like it just is for everywhere, it's encouraged, and really supported. But there are some areas where it just really isn't. And, even birth center births aren't really that much of an option. Like, it really does just depend, which is a shame, and it shouldn't be like that. It should be the same for everybody. It makes such a difference if you have that community team that are supportive of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I know friends in different parts of the country where they've relayed conversations they've had between their midwives, particularly if they've had a cesarean first time. I've got a very good friend who had a cesarean first time, and she was super keen to pursue a vaginal birth second time round, but they just didn't feel confident in supporting her to do that. And I think that's here I know with my team that would have been an absolute yes. Like, we would actually prioritize that above. But actually, where she was, it was a that's an unusual view. We'll have to think about it. They got a consultant, and she didn't have any other medical issues. It was just like, we don't really do that. If you've had a C-section once, we're trying to do, And I think
it depends on the team, I suppose. Like, their experience, and sometimes some of the fear, often, the fear around birth comes from the medical professionals themselves. If they, because we forget, I think sometimes that they can also feel fearful. And I guess if they don't feel totally comfortable with something, and they've not seen it a lot, if they've not been at many home births, or they've not been at many VBAC home births, HBACs they're called, then they probably don't feel that confident in supporting it, in which case you might not want them to support it.
Like, that's true. I know.
You might not want them there.
I saw a pediatrician about something completely different with my son, and he said, she said, sorry, how was your son born? And I explained I'd had a home birth, and she looked at me just totally shocked, and she just said, I'm glad you didn't ask for my advice. I would never have said yes.
Said,
was there an ambulance waiting outside? I was like, no, there was not an ambulance waiting outside. And I think for her, we had a conversation about it, and she said that, I've spent so long working in hospitals that I only ever see the acute end of things. So I only ever see it when things go wrong. And I understand that. Yeah. So it's just, so she, as we talked about it, she said, okay, I can see how it made sense for you. But originally she was a bit surprised, but it is that medicalization thing. They are, I think a lot of people I know who are doctors are wanting to do C-sections.
I agree.
That's what they think.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And it's, you know, a lot of people have that view as well. And yeah, medical, yeah, I think from something I heard once, this is actually when I was doing my hypnobirthing training like years ago, that actually like a lot of midwives, and this is quite generalized, but a lot of midwives will choose to give birth at home because they are often surrounded by very normal physiological birth and they understand it. And they see it a lot, whereas a lot of consultants on that side would, you know, very rarely would they choose a home birth. And that just is because that is not what they're used to seeing. So you're going to
No,
choose what
exactly.
you feel safest with. And that's something that I talk about a lot. And I've probably talked about it so much on this podcast anyway. But like, if you are talking to a consultant about anything to do with your pregnancy, they are going to be more medical about it. Because that is their experience. And it doesn't mean that that's right, but that is their view of it because they only see the stuff that's a bit more dangerous. You know, they only see the births that aren't going completely to plan. Whereas a midwife, they see, you know, such a variety of normal birth that they will, in most cases, give a much different, you know, perspective on it. And that is a generalization, but generally, that's kind of how it usually goes.
And I definitely have seen that play out. And actually, it was my I think my home birthing midwife, she just always talked to me about all of the home births that she had been involved in the last couple of
Oh,
like
so
years
nice.
working on the home birth team. And that was super like helpful and encouraging.
Yeah.
And she was really what you needed for a home birth. So yeah, when I was pregnant with my son, she came to my house to do our booking appointment because I'd said I was interested in a home birth. And that's the real benefit as well. Like all of my appointments were at home, my
Oh,
blood tests
yeah.
were at home. It was all just
Yeah.
very dreamy and relaxed. And
That's
she got to
so
know
nice.
my daughter and she got to know our dog and the house. And
Oh.
she was just very sweet. And she was exactly what you needed because she was almost so far the other way. She was like, there is
Yeah.
no way we're going to hospital. She always used to talk to me about examples of women who were at home and then they said, actually, I've changed my mind. Take me in. I need to have an epidural. And she used to talk to me about the methods that she had to talk women down. Obviously, if they really wanted it, she would accompany
Yeah.
them. That's fine. But,
Yeah.
you know, she knew
That's
that that was
great.
a likely occurrence that, you know, there is
Yeah.
that moment of panic. And
Yeah.
she described what was happening and how she would handle it. And so we developed a really lovely relationship over my pregnancy because she was
So
the only person I
nice.
saw. Yeah, she was great. She was just very enthusiastic and positive and very down to earth. That's the thing. She
Yeah.
was just super relaxed. It was almost like, yeah, this is the norm. This felt like the norm when
And
she was with
was
us.
she going to be at your birth? Did you have like a continuity of care model? So you'd see, yeah, the same person and then they'd be at your birth. That's fantastic.
Exactly. That's how the home birthing team sort of works, really. She
Yeah.
said, you know, I will do everything I can to be at your birth. And then she explained to me that a second midwife would come along with her from the
Yeah.
home birthing team when it happened. But she, yeah, the plan was that she would be
That's
the
amazing.
she would be the
So
main person, which is
that
great.
continuity of care like has been so like proven to be so beneficial. We don't have it again, like we don't have it a lot in this country.
No.
So we in my local area, we have a community midwife team and you see one midwife throughout your pregnancy. So that would be the midwife you saw, but when you gave birth, if you're giving birth at home, it could be any one of the community midwives that were on
Okay.
shift. So you could see anyone, you know, you could see somebody that you'd not seen before, or you could strike lucky and see your midwife, but it definitely wasn't something that was kind of guaranteed. So yeah, the continuity kind of model is not massive in the UK. It should be because it's amazing.
I mean, it's all about that feeling of feeling comfortable. If you're feeling
Yeah.
comfortable, if you don't know the person, you're about to experience
Yeah.
quite an intimate and intense,
Exactly.
experience
So
that's quite
vulnerable.
odd.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we had a sort of looming threat over ours where she was Australian and she was going home to Australia for 2 weeks around my due date. It was
Oh
just before. And we discussed it a few times and she said they actually do this lovely event, the midwife team here, where they do a meet the midwife event. So they hold it in like a local cafe
Oh, so
and
you meet them all anyway.
exactly. So you can go and have a chat to them if you are free. And they also invite women who've had babies through with their team to come back with their babies just
so
to,
nice.
To
catch where up are you in London?
The team is at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. So I'm in Southwest London in like Battersea, but it's at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so good. Just for anybody listening that is, you know, that area that didn't know
totally,
about that.
Totally, and Gronya was my midwife, if you ever anyone in that
I love
area.
It.
But she was amazing. And yeah, so I was slightly worried second time around because I feel like I had all the time in the world first time to prepare for my birth. I didn't have a toddler to look after.
Yeah.
So I was doing lots of hypnobirthing practice, lots of listening to my affirmations.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was about 7 months pregnant, having a panic to my husband thinking, I'm planning this home birth, but I've actually done no, I did so much prep before. I felt like I was doing all my, kind of the affirmations, and I was really planning it and thinking about it and, you know, going through it in my mind. And this time around, I just think it's gone super fast. I'm worried that I'm actually not going to be
It
able to cope
does.
with it. Yeah. But luckily that didn't,
It comes
I seem
back.
to remember. Yeah, exactly. I didn't have to do all that sort of intense practice second time around. But what I was preparing myself for was, because my daughter had been 12 days late and I found that very tiring, I had the same in my mind, which is foolish really, but I had the same idea that I would fly
It's
past my
not.
due dates.
Yeah, it's probably not. It's probably a good thing actually to like focus in that, like past that date.
Totally. I mean, he was due on the 18th of October. And so I was kept saying to people, like, he'll be here by Halloween, probably, you know, 31st of October. It can't really be later than that. So, although we didn't know for neither of my kids, we didn't find out whether they were a boy or a girl. So that was quite exciting as well. So I always love, I always advocate for a surprise if people are up for it, because it does help at the end when you're trying to, when you're waiting, you're trying to do the final bit. I did got to my due date, and then it was like 2 days after 2 days after my due date, I'd woken up in the morning feeling odd, and that's always the classic, isn't it? You can't really put a finger on it,
feel
but I felt
different.
a bit odd. And I dropped my daughter off at nursery, took my dog for a walk, and I remember texting my husband saying, oh, I've got crazy Braxton Hicks. And then I came home, made myself some lunch, and I remember as I was eating my lunch, I was looking at something on my laptop, and I remember having to like put my spoon down and be like and breathe. And then I remember thinking, oh, you don't have to do that with Braxton Hicks. And it was almost like I just completely ignored. I was thinking, oh, it can't be yet, because I've got another 10 days almost in my head. So I just didn't, I assumed, I'd almost kind of been ignoring it. And then suddenly I thought, oh no, actually, I don't think I've ever had to breathe through a Braxton Hicks contraction. So this must be contractions. And so I had the Great Freya app. And I started doing the old recording, the length and duration. Even at the beginning, it was all just a bit random. And my husband was working upstairs, and I texted him saying, I said, I felt a bit weird this morning. I think this is probably it. And I heard him like charge down the stairs, and he was the same as me. He was like, well, it can't be. It's not, it's too early. And when people say it's too early, that's usually like 3 weeks before the due date, not like two days after the due date. But I think in our heads, we've been so set towards the end of October.
Why I think that's a great idea. Like, I think, I try and encourage people to look at like a couple of weeks past their due date as like the date.
Totally.
For that reason, because then you're so focused on that other date and you're not putting so much pressure on that due date.
Oh, first time it was awful because she was due on the 16th of May and didn't come until the 28th. I had like a whole 12 days of, you know, texts, and me every morning I would think, is this the day? Whereas, second time around, I was just threw that into the air and just thought, no, end of October. Yeah, because we'd sort of semi-planned a water birth. So I had hired the birth pool and all the kind of equipment. And my husband had done a practice run, but he kind of went into full on. I think he thought the baby was going to arrive imminently. And he just was stomping around looking very stressed and sweating, like trying to set up this birth pool at like incredible speed. While I was just sort of hovering around, just, you know, waiting for things to I got on my birth ball and just sort of bounced around, watched a bit of TV. So he was definitely the much more stressed one at that point, until he got it all done and ready, and then he felt a bit more calm. And then And then it was a sort of funny experience. My midwife had done a lot of preparing me for second babies can come really fast. So, let us know as soon as you think you're in labor. All this. So I wasn't really sure what to expect, but we had a very relaxed time of it. I just stayed on my birth pool the whole time. As the contractions got more intense, there was a lot of breathing, and I had used the TENS machine first time round, and I got it out second time round, but we had broken our first one in the whole transition to labor,
Oh,
kind of,
no.
sorry, to hospital.
Yeah.
And right at the end, we couldn't get it working again, basically. So we got a new one, and I had made the mistake of not really assuming it would
Reading.
be the same and not really reading the instructions, which was not very wise because that's not really what you want to be doing when you're already
Yeah.
in labor.
They can
So
be
that
quite
just is a piece of
complicated as
advice.
well.
This one had a ridiculous, the other one was just like up and down,
Yeah.
and this one had just so many different settings, and he was trying to read the instructions, I was trying to read the instructions, and in the end I think we put it on for a bit, but I ended up abandoning it because it just didn't give me that same sense of feeling in control because I didn't really know what I was doing with it.
Right, yeah.
But what I did find hugely helpful is listening to this podcast. Before, I'd heard a woman sharing her story, and she talked about the comb, and I
Yes.
had no idea what. I remember listening to the podcast and thinking, oh, I've never heard that
I
before.
know.
What is the comb? And I remember thinking it must be, for some reason I had assumed it was something to do with, not like, when people have acupressure points on their back and like you rub down their back and
Yeah.
like to help with labor pain. So I'd sort of assumed it's that, and
Yeah.
then I remember googling it straight after the podcast and realizing it was like just literally
An actual
the
comb.
pressure points on your palm, yeah,
Yeah.
holding the comb. And I ordered like the cheapest, most basic one off Amazon. It was basically that to fit in your palm of your hand, and that was actually what I ended up using for my entire
Yeah.
second labor, was just the comb. And it was amazing.
Wow.
It's the same,
Yeah.
essentially the same pot thing as the, it's just something to take away from the
Yeah.
experience, the intensity.
I wish I had like a pound for every person that tells me how useful the comb was. Like,
Oh,
I would
really?
have
That's
so
interesting. I
much
just
money.
never
Yeah.
heard of
Like,
it. Yeah.
so many people, because it is actually, it's quite a new thing. Like, I didn't use it in either of my labors either because it just
Oh, interesting.
wasn't a thing. I mean, my
Yeah.
youngest is five, so that was like, well,
Sure.
she's like five and a half, so it was quite a while ago, but they weren't a thing. But then maybe a couple of years ago, through teaching hypnobirthing, I started to hear about this comb, and I started sharing it obviously on the podcast and like when I was teaching people and things like that. And the amount of people that say to me, like, yeah, the comb was amazing. I held a comb the whole time. Like, I hear
Yeah.
it in almost every single birth story now. And
Wow.
everybody, I haven't heard anybody yet say that it wasn't useful.
Yeah, it was so useful.
Everybody
Yeah.
has said it was useful. So get a comb. Like,
Yes, exactly.
even if you don't find it useful, but like, you might, or it might do something. So yeah, get a
Definitely.
comb.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing. My husband never got it. Even when I was going through it, he was just like, yeah, what is going on there? And I was like, I just can't explain it. And it was just the way it was across the center of my palm. It just felt really relieving in some way. And it left horrendous purple marks because I've been
I bet,
gripping it so
yeah.
tightly. But
Yeah.
it was completely worth it. And what was nice about it as well is that I could use it in the pool. So when I
Yeah.
did later on, when I transitioned to the pool, whereas the TENS machine, you're kind of ripping off and it's all a
Yeah.
bit chaotic when you try and get in the water. But I could hold on to that. And we continued like this for a little while. I was sort of leaning over our bed. I was on the birth pool with my comb, and we were trying to watch stuff on Netflix, which can be was a bit hit and miss because I was sort of half distracted, half,
Yeah.
and we ended up watching a bit of Bridget Jones. But then I remembered how ridiculous it's kind of a great film, but also a completely
I
ridiculous film
quite
that has
love,
aged. Yeah,
yeah.
it's aged interestingly in
Yes, it has,
over the
yeah.
last 20 years. So
Yeah.
in a way, that kind of added an element of humor to it that was quite good. And then I don't even remember how this choice was made, but at some point I realized David Attenborough was on. And I just
Oh,
thought, well,
that's
that's,
nice and relaxing.
yeah, exactly. It's quite nice,
Yeah.
just
Yeah.
background vibes while I was just get and at both times in my labors, I've prepared these playlists, and I've been so keen for music to be a part of the experience.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I've just never been able to. There's obviously too much else going on in my mind,
Right,
like in
yeah.
terms of trying to focus on the contractions, that I have not found music. Loads of people find it super helpful and really
Yeah.
helps them to get in the zone. But for me, even though I've really wanted it to be, it's not really worked.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, eventually I called our midwife and just let her know what was happening, and she popped around. She was local anyway, so she just popped around to see how I was
Oh.
getting on. And it was wonderful, because what I loved about having a home birth is that she just let me be.
Yeah.
She just said, I think it's still early stages. I've got nothing else really on today. So if you're happy, I'll just sit downstairs and do some of my admin paperwork. Just text me, text me or come downstairs and get me if you need me.
Yeah.
But I'll let you get on with it, basically. So she just texted in to let the wider team know what was happening. And she sat downstairs, and we carried on like that for a good few hours. I'd say that she must have come over about 4 p.m., half four in the afternoon. So I realized everything had started happening about 1 p.m. She came over
Right.
about half four, and I could feel the contractions getting more intense, but we just carried on in this nice pattern. She would come up and check on me. Elliot would go down to my husband would go down to speak to her. And this whole time, my dog was kind of like lurking about, and she could really sense that something was happening, but she didn't
Wow.
really know what to do with herself. She was sort of whining, and she
Oh,
wanted to sleep
wow.
next to the birth ball at my feet. And then she wanted to sleep on the bed facing me, because I was sort of leaning over the bed. She just wanted to be in my presence, which was quite sweet.
Oh, wow. Isn't
Because
that
she's not.
fascinating?
Yeah, she was really, you could see something was really up. She just,
Wow.
yeah, she's very distracted, which is interesting. And
I love that. I love that, because I just find it so interesting that like animals have
yeah,
these instincts.
she was actually amazing throughout the whole experience, because we'd had a really long conversation beforehand.
Yeah.
A, what do we do with our toddler if we decide
Yeah.
to have a home birth? And in the end, she went, my sister-in-law, who lives locally, picked her up from nursery, and
Great.
she stayed there for the night, which is perfect. And then second time round, a second thing was, what do we do with the dog? Because
Yeah.
sometimes our dog Pearl, she's lovely because she's a rescue, so she can be a bit unpredictable.
Okay,
She can be a bit panicky and barky. And I thought the last thing I need is
yeah.
her just barking and running around the
Yeah.
house in a stress. But we never really resolved where she should go. So she just ended up, being around. And actually, she was just great. She just stayed silent and with me the whole time, all the way up to when my son was born. She was she was basically just on the bed, like really sleepily, just watching. It was really
Oh my God.
it was quite impressive. She just remained completely fascinated but passive the whole time, which
I
was
love
lovely.
that. I love that.
Yeah, she was very sweet, and she kept the midwives company as well. It's quite nice for them.
Oh.
But it meant that, yeah, I could just set the room up as I wanted it. I had all these candles. It was very dark. Our dog was like, yeah, walking around. And then I think that there was a point where it was about 7 p.m. and I think because everything had been quite quiet, I hadn't had any examinations at all, and my midwife thought, okay, would you like me to check? I don't have to, but would you like me just to see how far along we are? And I had in my head, I think because it hadn't actually been going on very long at all, it had only in realistically been 6 hours of this sort
Yeah.
of, but it had felt like quite a long time to me, mainly because I'd just been
Yeah.
doing the same thing. And I in my and because last time I had gotten to 10 centimeters fairly quickly, I remember thinking, oh, I'm pretty much there, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be like
Yeah.
8, 9 centimeters. And so I jumped on our bed, and she quickly examined me, and she said I was four. And it
Okay,
really surprised me. I
yeah.
thought, oh, I definitely. And so it was helpful. I'm glad. I know not everyone likes examinations, but I
Yeah.
was glad I got it done, because it helped me reset a little bit. It helped me think,
Right.
okay, maybe there's going to be a bit more time to go. And I had a bit, my husband was extremely helpful in like
Yeah.
helping me to come down to, we talk about a traffic light system. It was that, most of the time I was sort of green, and
Yeah.
occasionally I'd go into amber, and he'd help me. He had things to help me get back down into a green
Oh,
state
I
of
like
mind.
that.
And then, yeah, and then after the examination, I sort of hovered up into red, where I was like, what's been happening? I thought it would be
Yeah.
quicker than this. I was kind of a bit panicked, but actually, we just did exactly the same things as we've been doing before. And my midwife said, you know, your things are still progressing, so I'm going to call the other midwife and get her to come along. So she came and she introduced herself, and I hadn't met her before, but she was very lovely. And they carried on sitting downstairs, and at this point they ordered a pizza. Elliot ordered a pizza for them both, and
I love that.
So that was great, because it was kind of around dinner time. It was like 7:30 in the evening. No one had really eaten, so I stayed in my, you know, strange little candlelit bubble upstairs, and they had a lovely time. They were just chatting with, you know, downstairs, having a pizza.
Yeah, it sounds like
all the other home births in the area.
It was lovely day at work for them.
Exactly. Although Elliot said he's never eaten a pizza quicker. He was literally like, he was gone for about 4 minutes.
I bet.
And then came back upstairs, and then I think it all did just happen. So, and then I don't, for whatever reason, I think I was feeling super relaxed because I knew the two midwives were here, because I think it was probably because in my head I thought I'll be doing this for the rest of the night, and I thought, actually, I've got a little while to go, so let's just sit back and enjoy it a bit. Exactly. And then I did feel that huge wave of like, okay, this is going to be fine. Baby will probably be here. We were talking about midnight. We were like, is baby going to come before midnight or after midnight? And I thought, well, that's just so far in the future. It's like 5 hours. I can definitely handle this. And I just felt super relaxed. And also, it helped that it had gone dark outside, because it had gone, it felt a bit more peaceful. And then I decided at some point, I think I realized my waters hadn't broken at this point. And I think I thought, the comb is sort of starting to not do it anymore, in the sense that the pain is probably overtaking the comb's abilities, the magical properties of the comb. And so I'd been holding off getting in the pool, because my midwife had said it's kind of like a next level, so if you get into it when you feel like you need just that extra something else. And so this was about 90 minutes later, about 9 p.m. so we hadn't done any more examinations, so I jumped into the pool, and I just felt this incredible, I think that feeling will stay with me for such a long time, just this incredible sense of like ultimate relief. It was like the warmth of the water just took everything off me. Like I felt
so nice,
just my weight lift, and it was amazing. I just felt suddenly very cocooned, and it felt a lot more private, even though I was already in my own bedroom, I was already in my own home, but just getting into the water felt like an extra element to that. And I think it was that feeling, like I'd been in the water maybe 30 seconds and I felt this huge push down and my waters just broke.
Oh wow.
And then I first time round, I don't remember the transition that clearly, but second time round, I think just getting into that water just pushed me into that second stage immediately. My waters broke, and I remember feeling that visceral need to sort of push. And I remember just saying that, I think I'm going to push, like really, like I think this is the next stage now. And they were, and my midwife was like, okay, great, cool. And she called the other midwife up. It's all just very relaxed.
Oh, yeah.
And our other midwife just sat in the background. And and then I was in that pushing phase. And it was actually when I felt the baby move, like, into the, I guess, I don't remember this first time around, but I actually remember the feeling of the baby being in the birth canal and thinking, oh my gosh, it's so soon. And I'm not sure how common this is, but it was at that point, which was so close to the end, where I had a complete panic. It was like, oh no, I don't want to do this now. And I've been so relaxed up to that point. But like that
your
crucial
transition,
last
seconds.
Even though, it felt like the transition, but later in the sort of physical process. And I just thought, no, done. I don't want to do it. And I remember thinking, can someone do, I remember literally saying out loud, can someone just deal with it? Like, I can't push anymore. I don't want to do it now. I think it might have been, and I really felt myself getting hot and flustered, and it was literally seconds long. But then the most amazing experience happened, where the midwife who I had only met that day, she like rushed over, she came to the side of the pool, and she grabbed both my hands super tightly, and she pressed my forehead, like her forehead against my forehead. And it was just the most, she just completely took control of the situation.
Yeah.
And she just almost, not shouted at me, she had a really loud voice, and she was like, just count your breaths.
Yeah.
And she just counted right in my face. And that physical pressure of her on my forehead and her holding my hands, it was just not an, it just helped me completely take it's like she took control in a strange sort of way, and then
She
I could
she
just
grounded you, I suppose. Like
exactly
you
back
were
up in my head.
in your head, yeah, and like
Exactly.
she grounded you back to reality. Like, come on,
Yeah, and
you
I
can do this.
exactly, and at that point I think my body just got on with it because I let it, rather than me having to do anything. It was like my body just said okay, and then my son was born, and I felt such an incredible sense of relief that they had to remind me to get him out of the water. I was just like, oh, this is great.
Done. Job done.
And I just remember this gentle voice of my midwife being like, okay, you have to pick your baby up. I was like, oh no, where is
Where is it?
and then that was lovely. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so
Because it was a
nice.
boy, which is exciting because we had a girl, and we had no real preference, but it was not, it was very exciting. And he was super quiet at the beginning because I think it was all just just from one warm
Sounds
place
so
into another warm
calm.
place.
Yeah, it sounds really calm.
Exactly. And my husband was just there, kind of, I think he was extremely helpful, but in a weird way, like, it was more helpful, the midwives, because I think that final moment where I just needed someone to take me out of my panic, it was that intervention that helped most of all, I think. And I haven't heard of an experience like that, but especially with NHS midwives, just being so physically involved in that emotional presence and emotional state was super. It was amazing, really. And then what was quite incredible as well is that they packed up for us. They just cleaned our whole
They
bedroom.
do. This
I
is what
know, it was amazing.
people feel surprised by this, but like, and also a lot of the time people's reasons for not wanting home birth is because like of the mess and having to tidy up. And like most of the time, if a midwife's there when you've had your baby, that they do help. And also the other thing I would say to somebody who that's their concern is that you've just given birth, you do not have to do any tidying up. Like
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
really not going to ever be your responsibility to tidy it up anyway. But yeah,
Absolutely
they
not.
do.
Yeah, it was amazing. They emptied the pool for us, put the pool away. Well, my husband and one midwife did that. Well, the other, well, my original midwife like looked over, checked over me and the baby, and we got into my bed. It was really lovely. And I needed no other kind of treatment after that. It was
No.
just sort of every,
Amazing.
yeah, you both look all right. I'll see you in the morning. And I, yeah, and actually, sorry to go back a bit, like that's what, so I had been 4 centimeters at 7:30, and then when I got into the pool it was about 9 p.m. and he was born at 22 minutes past 9, so it was like
Wow.
crazy quick at the
Super
end.
fast.
Which again just shows, like, I think it's just that relaxed state.
And that there's no
And then
like
also
timeline on dilation. Like
exactly,
dilation will just
totally,
happen when it needs to
yeah.
happen. You can go from 4 to 10 quickly, like you did. You know,
Very quickly,
there's no
exactly.
guideline on it.
No, absolutely. And what was also wonderful about the whole home birth scenario is that they came the next day to do the one day check, so I didn't have to go anywhere. They came to
Oh,
the
so
house to do the
nice.
check on babies. I just didn't go into hospital except for the two scans, 12 weeks to 20 weeks. Didn't see the inside of a hospital, which was
How
very, very
nice.
nice. So
That is the thing
dreamy.
as well, like about when you give birth at home, is you just like they leave and then you're just at home with your baby. And I remember like, because
Exactly.
we had our second at home, and I remember they left and we were kind of like, oh, okay, I suppose you just got on with it then,
Yeah. Exactly.
but it's so nice, it's so lovely.
It's lovely. And my dog was there sleeping on the bed next, she usually sleeps downstairs, but she was just so fixated on this idea that something had happened, which was really lovely.
How is she with him? Like,
Oh, she just
have they
loves
got like
us.
a super strong bond?
He is completely, they're both fixated on each other, actually. And it's interesting because my daughter can take or leave our dog, which is always really sad. My dog was here first, but I, for whatever reason, our daughter has never really shown very
She's
much
just not
interest
fast.
in our dog, whereas our dog loves both of them with all her little heart.
Oh,
But yeah,
so
no, my
cute.
son is fixated on her. It's
Yeah,
such a
and I
nice little
wonder
dynamic.
like whether they'll have this like special little bond. I don't know, like I love animals and I love dogs, and I just think like it's so lovely to have that, to have like for them to be included, and she knew what was going on. They do know, like they do
She
know.
did know. Her whole behavior changed. She's never that quiet and simple. And just, she just knew she wanted to be present, but she didn't want, she always wants to be on your lap or just, she's very, yeah, she's a very affectionate lap dog, but she just knew to be like hovering in the background. But she was also very insistent on being present. She was definitely, she did actually have a big panic the next day when we tried, she usually sleeps downstairs. And the next day when we tried to get her to sleep downstairs, she was properly yelping, like, no, need to get back upstairs to mother and baby. It was really sweet. She's a very sweet dog.
Bless her.
And that's the benefit as well. You don't often got your pet dog at your birth.
No, not at all. Really, like, nice. It's lovely. Yeah. Like, it's really lovely. I love that.
It's really nice. It was special. Yeah, a special time. And then it was also nice because when people came over the next day, it was just all very relaxed. People could just quickly pop in because we have sisters and brothers that live quite close. So they could just come and say hello and then go again. There wasn't all this drama of getting back home. And it was all very,
lovely.
All very
What a lovely story. That's so nice.
Thank
Like,
you.
Just such a lovely, calm home birth. And I love that the midwives were so hands off. Like, it just really makes such a difference when they just leave you and they just let you be, but you know they're there, so if there is anything.
Yeah, and totally. And they'd also said, we'll set up gas and air, and we'll set up, it sounds a bit alarming, but you know, we'll set up a resuscitation.
Oh, they do, they have to.
Area.
Yeah,
but it was just nowhere in my view, so I couldn't see it, so I didn't know that they had done it all. But Elliot said afterwards that they had it, you know,
they do have to
great.
Do that.
Obviously.
Which I guess could be quite, you could be quite alarmed by it, I suppose, but just for anybody out there, like, that is completely like normal, and you'd want them to have it set up, like, for the very rare chance that anything happened. But yes, stuff we don't think about, probably, that actually they do come fully equipped with basically like a mini hospital.
Totally.
You know, they don't just turn up.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're not exactly. Yes, they had so much stuff, especially at the end as well. Everything just sort of appeared to like weigh the baby, you know, work out, you know, make sure everything was okay. She had kits of stuff, but I just hadn't seen it all beforehand.
Which is nice.
They don't want to put you in that mindset, do they, of like medicalization? No. The idea is you're just giving birth.
They're very discreet, and that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's what you want, isn't it? You don't want that, in your view, or to be aware of it. Really, you want it there, but you don't want to be aware of it.
You don't. No, absolutely not. So it was. It was a great home. And since then, I've been one of those annoying home birth advocates. I swear, every time someone talks about having a baby, I've got lots of friends who are pregnant at the moment. It seems to be it seems to be that age. And I've definitely been sidling up to people being annoying and talking to them about home birth.
But it's so nice because they have your story now, so they do have like a different point of reference to all the other stories we hear. So you never know, like, maybe like they might have a little seed planted and start being a bit more interested in it. And it's lovely. And lovely to be able to share that story with people. And I'm sure people will listen and they will take something away with them into their own birth. That's what I like so much, is that people, you know, will hear a story on this podcast and take a bit of it with them and not even realize that, you know,
definitely,
it's there.
And that
and
happened
so
to
helpful.
Me. I took so many different elements of everyone's stories and kind of pulled them together into my own.
Draw on
so.
Them, No, well, thank you, Rachel. That was like such a lovely story. It's such a lovely start to the day to hear, you know, such a lovely, calm, positive story. I feel all calm now. I feel like I need to like go and do something calm. And thank you so much for sharing your story. And like, again, for, you know, coming onto the podcast, sharing it with other people and kind of giving back in that way, because you've benefited from others' stories. So it's so lovely when people want to come back and share theirs, because you know how much it's going to benefit people. So so thank you so much. And lovely story, and lovely to meet you.
Thank you. Yes, thanks so much for having me on. I've really enjoyed it. It's actually very fun and quite therapeutic going over it all over again.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's lovely to hear. Yeah. And you'll be able to, it's nice to be able to then listen to it and, you know.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. That's true, actually. Maybe I'll keep a recording of it and then play
you'll
it
never
back.
Forget.
You'll
never forget the little details, you know, if you have like, you know, written down or you talk about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, well, thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.